Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. You can go ahead and be seated. Amen. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 What an amazing time we had during our leaders' summit on Friday. What a glorious time in the Word of God. I tell you, if I wasn't a leader or a minister, I would want to be just for that kind of revelation and what is available to us in Christ. Amen. Glory to God. As Pastor Tinu said, the messages are available online on our website. So avail yourself. Amen. Three things we identified. A place of privilege. A place of many dangers. And a place of unparalleled victories. In this service, the Lord is having me focus a lot more on a place of unparalleled victories. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This here will be a mountain of miracles. Amen. And breakthroughs. Amen. And there is no distance in the spirit. What the Lord does with one, He will do with others. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to get your faith ready. Make sure there are no distractions around you. I want you to be focused. If you have the word, get it ready. I believe the Lord will say some things to you that will not just quicken your faith, but that will prepare you for unprecedented miracles in your life. Something will happen to you as a result of this service like you have never experienced before. I thank God for those who have brought points of contact. Those are platforms for miracles. And towards the end, I'm going to pour oil on some of them. I'll be careful not to destroy things that are important, but I'll just touch them with oil. But if you don't have something physical, like a point of contact, or you are virtual with us today, you can get something. You can get something and keep it around you. I do believe, I have no doubt about it. I actually should say, I know. Because sometimes you believe something like you are in faith. You have a sense in your spirit, and you release your faith because you believe God is going to do something. But sometimes you know. To know something is very different from believing something. When you say you believe, like, I know Brother Fuenge is sitting in front of me. I don't have to believe it. Right? If I didn't see him there, and maybe I thought his spirit was supposed to be there, I could say, I believe Brother Fuenge is, and then he may get up from wherever he is and come and sit there. Are you following? There's a difference. When I say I believe, the physical evidence is not there. But there is something registering in the spirit, so you have to believe it. But when the physical evidence is already there, and there's full assurance, and there's a manifestation even in the natural, you don't have to believe it. You know it. If you say, I believe this chair will hold my weight, you can say that before you sit on it. Because you are not sitting on it yet. So you are hoping and you are believing that when you sit on it, you will not crash. But the moment you sit on it and the chair is carrying your weight, you don't say, I believe this chair will carry my weight. You say, I know this chair is carrying my weight. There are two major differences. Yes. Let me say what I said earlier again. I know that some unprecedented victories, some unparalleled victories, some mighty miracles are coming out of this service. I know that I'm not believing it. I know that I know that I know it. With full and clear evidence. You have to believe it. But you can believe it based on what God said. I know it because beyond what God said, he also showed it to me. So I already know it. And I want you also, as you believe, then to seek to come to a place where you also know it. So it becomes a full physical, natural manifestation in your life. Somebody say, I believe it.
I believe it.
And I will soon know it. Said, I believe it and I will soon know it. Let's start so we can have a connection between Friday and Sunday. Let's start from where one of the scriptures where we were on Friday. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. And Jesus asked the disciples, and he asked them first, who do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. And they told them, some say you are Elijah, you are John the Baptist, some say you are Jeremiah. And then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? Because the revelation you have of Jesus is the most important thing in your life. Everything in your life begins with revelation. Until you have revelation knowledge of who Jesus is, you have not started your spiritual journey. You have not started. Until you have a revelation. Nobody has full revelation. Revelation is progressive. But until you have the first step of that progressive revelation of who Jesus is, you have not started your spiritual journey. And when you get that first, see, you notice how sometimes people struggle spiritually. They are up today, they are down tomorrow, they are struggling, they're just trying to find their bearing. What is really happening? They don't have revelation yet. The day you have a revelation of Jesus, your life will change. Your life will change completely. You cannot have a revelation of Jesus and you still, you know, you dilly-dallying and, you know, doubting, blowing like a wave. No, it's not. When you have a revelation of who Jesus is, you something happens to you. Remember when Moses said to the Lord, when God sent him, said, I'm going to send you to deliver my people. He was asking questions. But who should I say sent me? He didn't have a revelation. God said to him, tell him I am that I am. He's tell him I am that I am. He didn't understand it. And he kept on asking different questions. And finally, one time God said to him, what's that in your hand? He said, it's a rod. God said, throw it on the ground. He threw the rod on the ground. It became a snake. God said, pick it up. He picked up the rod. God said, I've made you a God to Pharaoh. He never asked another question. Why? He got a revelation. When you get a revelation of who Jesus is, your life changes. Nothing remains the same. When you know, and like I told, revelation is progressive. Nobody knows him fully, but it is progressive. But you know him in measures. You know him in degrees. When you get the first revelation of Jesus and clarity comes into your spirit, your life changes. Your life changes. What was a struggle before, immediately the struggle is broken. Immediately, clarity comes to you. Things that you had to struggle, you had doubt, you had all of those just clear up. The smoke screen is removed. And Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. He got revelation. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. He got revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is your first step on your spiritual journey of glory. When you meet God in an encounter, you see, you can meet God through your father, through your mother, through your grandparents. You can meet God through a preacher. You can meet God through a counselor, through a minister. All of that is wonderful. But the day you meet God through a personal encounter that you have, your life changes.
Yes.
Your life totally changes.
Yes.
The beginning of your ability to be a channel and a vessel through whom God can channel his power on the earth. The beginning of that process is when you have a revelation knowledge of who Jesus is. Immediately, you don't need somebody to check your paper. You don't need somebody looking, you know, looking over your shoulders, make sure you are doing what you know. You have a revelation. You and Jesus, you become like that. Hallelujah. He said, my Father revealed it to you. It wasn't flesh and blood. And then he said unto him, and I say unto you, you are Peter. Whatever your name is, I want you to call it out. When Jesus said you are Peter, he was speaking to Peter as one of the building blocks of his church. There's something Jesus wants to say to Peter based on the revelation that Peter had of him. I want you to put your name here. Let's read it together. You are Kayode. Put your name there. You are Kayode. Come on. Put your name there. You are Kayode. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say the gates of hell will not fight against it. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say the gates of hell will not attack it. What did he say? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. That means there will be conflict. There is bound to be conflict. When you begin to walk with Jesus, there is bound to be conflict. And if you have not had conflict in your life, get ready. Because by virtue of this message you are hearing today, conflict is gathering. The storms of conflict are gathering around, and you are going to see them. But I dare say to you, on the authority of the word of God, he said in Isaiah chapter 54 verse 17, surely they will gather together, he said, but not by me. And whosoever gathers together against you will fall for your sake. So there will be conflict, but that conflict will not bring you down. I said that conflict will not bring you down. Yes, there will be conflict. There's trouble knocking at the door, because revelation puts a target on your back. When you get revelation of who Jesus is, Satan immediately rises up against you. And I'm talking real target. I'm not talking wannabe targets. Like I said on Friday, some believers, they are dealing with some things. Satan hasn't even brought out his secret weapon yet. He's just still blowing. You know, he's just blowing. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I experienced this in our high school in boarding house. You know, we had, sometimes they have, you don't have enough rooms in the dormitories for every student. So it's first come, first serve. And those who come later, they don't get room. So we were one of those who came a little late. Excuse me. So we had to settle with some, they call them annexes in the dormitory. So I had an annex. But those annexes, nobody really wants to stay there, because they are not like regular rooms. They have bricks. They are built with bricks on the side. They are not fully enclosed. It's open to the outside. You know, there are little annexes in between rooms, right, in the hallway. And I happened to have been in one of those annexes. I never forget one night while we were sleeping on our bunk bed. I think I was on the top bunk, and I think one of my roommates was on the lower bunk. And I remember I woke up in the middle of the night feeling something on my foot. First of all, it was a nice feeling. But, you know, as I felt it more, I started to feel like something was actually clawing into my foot. Yeah. As it was clawing, I said, this is no longer sweet. There's pain. So I opened my eyes, and bam, just like that, I saw rats. The moment I moved, I saw rats. They were blowing on my foot and then clawing, and then I looked at under my foot, and there they are clawed into my foot, the sole of my foot. Sometimes Satan is just blowing on some people, and they think the whole world is collapsing. They say, I'm about to die. Oh, I'm going to die. The devil is on my case. Oh, all hell is all hell. No, it's not true. If Satan shows you his secret weapons, you will know that all these little afflictions we're dealing with, they're just little. But God is setting you up to be one of those building blocks in his army. Hallelujah. Amen. Wherever you have been on your journey with Christ, today God is going to jack you up. Amen. You are a soldier today. Amen. I say you are a soldier today. Amen. You will not cry over little affliction anymore. Amen. Your days of crying are over forever. From this day, when no matter what you see, you will get up. And like we said on Friday, you will resist the devil. Yes. You know, you've had that term. It's a legal term. You know, police people use it. They say it was resisting arrest. It's a, you know, and I didn't teach you, I didn't tell you to resist police arrest. But the Bible says you should resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yes. You know what it means to resist? It's to fight back. The suffering is really in the resisting. We feel the pain because we are resisting. But if you can stand your ground, the Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. First Peter chapter 5 verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, the same attacks are going on in your brethren. You are not the only one. Sometimes Satan wants you to think you are the only one. You are not the only one. You are not the only one under attack. Hallelujah. I say you are not the only one under attack. Yeah. But the good news is you will win this attack. Yeah. I say you will win this victory. Yeah. And you will come out on the other side with trophies. Yeah. I say you will come out on the other side with trophies. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. He said, on this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Then he said, I will give also unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on this earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you lose on this earth will be loose in heaven. I just need to call your attention. I'm going to move past this scripture real quickly in just a minute here. But I need to call your attention to this truth. When you put your name in that scripture and you are Coyote or you are John or you are Chris or you are Ola or you are whatever your name is, and you put it there, and Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. He's calling you to war. He's calling you to take up your arms. Yes. Hallelujah. That's why he gave you keys. Notice he says, I say unto you, you are Coyote, and upon this rock I will build my church. This is the rock of the revelation of who Jesus is. But once you have a revelation of who Jesus is, you become a soldier in the army of the Lord. Yes. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. Notice, he didn't say, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against me. He already knows the gates of hell cannot prevail against him. We are not talking about Jesus. Jesus is a winner man. Yes. Jesus can never lose. Yes. There is no question mark on the ability of Jesus. We've been singing it all service. There's nothing he can't do. He's the God who is more than enough. He's able. He's able. There's no impossibility for our God. The question mark is on you. He said, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. He didn't say against me. He said, but against it. It is the you. The question mark is on you. And so he followed up that scripture by saying, and I will give to you the keys. Why? Because I want to guarantee your victory. Yes. My victory is not in question. Yours is. Whether or not you lose the fight is not dependent on me. It's dependent on you. You are an active participant in this revolution. You have to be an active participant in this revolution. Yes. God is trying to say something to you today. Let's go to another one of the scriptures that we read on Friday. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read a couple of verses. Before I read those two verses, I have a couple of scriptures to read in the epistles, Ephesians and Colossians. Before I read them, let me just say something to you that I've heard for a little over a week now. Every time I have the service, the Open Heavens weekend, and especially the Open Heavens Sunday service has come into my spirit. I've always heard coming, and I know it's from the Holy Spirit. It comes out like it's like a river of water. I hear it. It says, "And the Lord has wrought a great victory. And the Lord has wrought a great victory. I want you to pay attention to that word. It's a King James word, but actually some other translations of the Bible use it. It's not only a New Testament word. You are also going to see that word in some scriptures I read with you in the Old Testament. That word wrought. That word wrought is a very powerful word. It's spelled W-H-R-O-U-G-H-T. The W-R-O-U-G-H-T. You are going to read it. You are going to see this in the Bible in just a minute. The Lord has wrought a great victory. Somebody say that with me. The Lord has wrought a great victory. You guys sitting at the back, come over here. Maria, Edie, you guys come. I have seats right here. Come and sit right here. Sit right here. Sit very close, up close, right here. There's a lot of power, anointing of the Holy Spirit. You guys, I want you to get the full dose. Hallelujah. The only people at the back is, if there's a whole section of your family, I'll let you guys stay, or people that are helping us. But you guys stay up front. Stay up close. There's a great anointing right here. You feel it. You feel it in just a few minutes. You're going to feel it in just a few minutes. The word is a word wrought. W-R-O-U-G-H-T. You're going to see it in just a minute. Now, for quite over a little over a week now, every time I pray over the service, every time I think about the service, every time, you know, I just hear it, it just comes out of my spirit like a river. The Lord has wrought a great victory. The Lord has wrought a great victory. Can you say that with me? The Lord has wrought a great victory. Everybody say that with me. The Lord has wrought a great victory. Let's do it in the word. You love the word, don't you? You're gonna get in a couple of epistles. Now I gotta show you a couple of things from the epistles. They're slightly deep, but we came into this convention weekend. I promised on Friday I'm not dealing with bread and butter, milk. This is a convention for men and women of God. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a convention for people who are going to be soldiers in the army of the Lord, who are going to go out. You are going to go out and you are going to be a terror to the kingdom of darkness. He knows it. He's scared. He's been fighting this for a while. But don't worry, he has lost the fight. We have the victory. When you leave this convention, this service today, you are going to go as strong. I said you are going to go as strong like your heavenly Father. We call Jesus, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But Jesus is not the only lion. You are also a lion. When you leave this service today, you are going to live with so much authority over your life, with so much conviction, the knowledge of who you are called to be. You are a little Jesus upon the earth, and you are supposed to be wreaking havoc in the world. Hallelujah. So get ready. I have a couple of verses, a couple of scriptures here before I take you to the Old Testament. It's in the epistles. We're not used to reading epistles in the church, in the churches, because it's slightly deeper, you know. So, of course, many of us pastors, we have to make it very simple. And, you know, we go with the stories and the parables. I don't have any parable today. I have something's a little deeper. Somebody say, I'm ready for deeper. Come on, somebody say, I'm ready to feed at a higher level. Come on, say it. I'm ready to go up with Jesus. I have a destiny to go up with Jesus. Come on, say it loud. I have a destiny to go up with Jesus. I'm ready for some of the greater things God wants to do through my life. I'm tired of camping around and just sitting around and just loafing around and just twiddling. No. I'm ready for the higher things that Jesus. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, we read this scripture and we prayed this prayer on Friday. Let's read it from verse 19. It says here in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of this power towards word who believes. Sorry, it's a lot of King James English, but you get it. Excuse me. And what is the exceeding greatness of this power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? There are a lot of believers who live as though this mighty power left when Jesus left. There are even places where they preach the Holy Spirit left when the apostles died. It's a lie. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed. The same Jesus who walked the earth 2,000 years ago, he's still walking the earth today through the Holy Spirit and through his believers. Look at that scripture. There is power to heal the sick. There is power to save the lost. There is power to deliver the oppressed. There is power to turn around your situation. There is power to... Hallelujah. I heard that. There is power to open the Red Sea. I said there is power to open the Red Sea. I said there is power to open the Red Sea. Somebody is walking through dry land today. Somebody is walking through dry ground today. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Look at verse 20. Everybody look at that verse 20. I want you to look at that word. Which he wrought. Somebody say that word with me. Which he wrought. Let's spell that word together. W-R-O-U-G-H-T. Which he wrought. When he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet. Let me say this to you. The feet of Jesus are not on the head. Open your eyes. You got to get a revelation from this one. The feet of Jesus are not on the head. The feet of Jesus are on the body. They are the posterior part of the body. The lowest part of the body of Jesus are the feet. And the Bible says he has put all things under the feet. That means even the smallest, the youngest, the most insignificant member of the body of Christ who God saved yesterday or today can do miracles. Amen. Can exercise authority and dominion. Because he put all things under his feet. He didn't say he put all things under his head. He put all things under his feet. Somebody say, I'm a part of the body of Christ. He put all things under me. Say it again. I'm a part of the body of Christ. He put all things under me. I have authority. I have dominion. All things are under me. Look at that scripture one more time. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave Jesus to be the head over all things for the benefit of the church. For the benefit of the church. For the advantage of the church. Which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. All right. We're going somewhere here, right here. Let's jump from this scripture and go to chapter 2 of Ephesians. And let's read from verse 4. We're going somewhere. God wrought something by raising Jesus from the dead and setting him up on his own right hand in the heavenly places far above all principality and power. Now, on Friday, we learned redemption did not stop at the cross. There are a lot of cross Christians. The cross is awesome because forgiveness happens at the cross. But redemption did not stop at the cross. What you are reading in this scripture right here is way beyond the cross. He says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's beyond the cross. And he set him at his own right hand, far above all principality. That's beyond the cross. And he put all things under his feet. That's beyond the cross. I know at the cross, we see Jesus hanging. We see his mother crying. We see the disciples hiding. We see Jesus suffering. We see them spitting on him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. That gospel of the cross is a partial gospel. Jesus is no longer crying, suffering on the cross. Amen. Human beings are not spitting at Jesus. They are not mocking at Jesus. Jesus has been raised up. Amen. You see that he says the exceeding greatness of his power. That happened after the cross. Hey. That happened after the cross. The Lord wrought a great victory at the resurrection of Christ. The Lord wrought a great victory at the resurrection of Christ. What I want you to see right here before I leave the epistles is that Jesus was not the only one raised from the dead. You were raised from the dead too. You were raised from the dead. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised you from the dead too. Somebody said, but I never died. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You were dead in your sin, but Jesus, God, raised you up. Hallelujah. The power of his resurrection was not only manifest in Jesus. The power of his resurrection was manifest in you. People talk about habits that are killing them. People talk about how there's no power in their lives. People talk about how they can't help themselves. That's because you have allowed yourself to stay dead. When Jesus was raised from the dead, powerless, after suffering, after thorns and spitting, when God raised him from the dead, he raised him up with great power. When he raised you up from the dead, he raised you up with great power. It happened by the operation, the energetic operation of the power of God. I got to show this to you before I leave the epistles. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4? Somebody said, I came for some deeper word today. Say, well, I'm not sure about that, but you are sure right now you are already here. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, let's read it together. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. Somebody say, but I wasn't dead. How could I have been resurrected when I wasn't dead? You are reading now. You were dead. So, but I didn't know I was dead. Now you are reading it in the Bible. Can you not read it in the Bible? Say, so you don't have to believe it. You know it. Now that you read it, it's there. Physical evidence in the Bible. You were dead. Somebody say, I was dead. Even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. Somebody say, together. Together. That word shows up a couple of times right here in this passage. He quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. What does that mean? He quickened us together with Christ. It means that when Jesus was raised up back to life from the dead, I was raised back to life too. I'm no longer dead. I used to be dead, but I'm no longer dead. You used to be dead, but you are no longer dead. Resurrection power is working in your life. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is in your life right now. Even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together. He raised us up together.
For by grace are you saved. Hey, hallelujah. Look at verse 6. He raised us up together. That's the second time you're seeing that. He raised us up together. And then he did what? He made us sit together. This word together is a very powerful word. It's the word that connects the body to the head to the body. Look at you where you are sitting. Minister Wilmot, your head isn't sitting on that chair and your body is somewhere else. Is it? It's both your head and your body. Why? Because they are connected together. If I have you get up for just a minute and walk over there, just walk over there. Thank you. Stop right there. Your head got up to walk over there. Is your body still sitting there? Where is your body? It's right there. Why? Because you are connected. You are inseparable. Your head is inseparable from your body. Whatever happens to your head happens to your body. Right? If you lie down on the carpet, it's not your head that is lying down, it's your entire body. Your body and your head are permanently inseparable. Thank you. Let me give you a revelation. You are permanently inseparable from Jesus. You are permanently inseparable from Jesus. Jesus is the head, you are the body. Jesus is the head, you are the body. Whatever happens to the head happens to the body. When God raised up the head and sat him up above, far above principality and power in the heavenly places, the body also rose with him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Can you see this in Ephesians chapter 2? And you has he raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? So that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Somebody say, I was raised together with him. Say, I'm seated together with him. Now go to Colossians chapter 2. All of these scriptures we read partially on Friday, but this is just, I'm just giving you some foundation, and then I'll take you to a few scriptures in the Old Testament before I start trying to close and get into prayer and speaking the word of God and declaring there's something dangerous that is going to happen in this place. Something dangerous is happening this weekend. Something dangerous is happening this weekend. Something that will stare the doors of hell. Something that will stare Satan's stronghold in some families. Satan's strongholds in some communities. Satan's strongholds in some nations. God is going to stare. God is going to shake. There's going to be a shaking. There's going to be a staring. Some things are going to turn upside down by the activity of the power of God in the lives of his people. Amen. And I'm not trying to preach to you either. I'm just excited about what I know is about to happen.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 9. He says right here in verse 9, for in him, talking about Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means everything that belongs to God, the Father, belongs to Jesus. And then he said in verse 10, and you, somebody say me. Call your name, Kayode. Say me, Kayode. You are complete in Jesus. You are complete in him. Who is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11. In whom also, watch this now, and I want you to pay attention to the next two verses of scripture. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I won't dwell there too much. It's going to take too much of my time. Let's keep going. Verse 12. Because you were buried with him in baptism. You remember you died? We read that already. You were dead, right? You were dead in sin, right? And you were buried with him in baptism, Wherein also, look at that next verse, wherein also you are risen with him through what? Through the faith of the operation of God. I want you to see this. That word that I called your attention to earlier on in the message, let's spell that word together. W-R-O-U-G-H-T. Rot. The word rot means it was produced by the faith of the energetic operation of God and your active participation. Don't go to sleep on me now. Don't go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. Wake up in the spirit, somebody. Don't get bored now. Don't get bored. Don't let your mind wander. Stay right here. Stay right here. The word rot, W-R-O-U-G-H-T, it means it was produced by the faith of the energetic operation of God and your active participation. Okay, let's make this practical. So, God wrought his power and raised Jesus from the dead. What does that mean? It happened by the faith of the energetic operation of God and Jesus' active participation. I want you to get this. It's not hard. It's not hard. This is not difficult. This is not geometry. It's not statistics. This is simple Bible spirit. Spirit Bible. But it's not milk. It's not milk. It's meat that will translate you from anywhere you are today to a totally different place. Amen. His power, when the exceeding greatness of God's power, which he wrought, the word wrought means it happened or it was produced by faith, the faith of the energetic operation of God and your active participation. If you will ever get a miracle in your life for anything, if you will ever get a breakthrough from anything that you need God to come through for you in, it will happen through the faith of the energetic operation of God and your active participation. Herein lies the difference between those who receive from God and those who don't receive. The woman with the issue of blood who received a healing out of thousands of people who were, and when she touched the garment of Jesus, Jesus said, "Somebody touch me." His disciples said, "Everybody's touching." He said, "No, no, 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 no. No. It's different." There were thousands of people milling around him. And everybody was bumping shoulders with him. They were bumping. And Jesus said, "Somebody touch me. Virtue went out of me. Something happened. Something happened." Hallelujah. I know more than 20 years ago, how many? Almost 40 years ago, I should say. When I was healed and when I received the healing touch of Jesus from an issue of blood. And in a moment, that issue of blood stopped. It happened through my active participation, but more importantly, through the energetic operation of the power of God. Yes. When believers sing the song, "All things are possible, there's nothing God cannot do," they don't understand what they are saying many times. Because people think miracles, people think the work of God is going to fall on their heads like cherries fall. No, that's not the way it happens. The Lord wants you to know in this service, you are going to get out of this service and you are going to be a terror to the devil. Amen. Because all the while, there's something that's been missing. You will come out of this service, you will become one of the evangelists we heard about earlier in this service. You become one of the pastors we heard about. Nobody may call you pastor, But you become a terror. When the devil, you know, it's more important for the devil to look at you and say, ah, pastor is coming, than for individuals and human beings in the church to look at you and say, pastor is coming. When people say pastor is coming, it really means nothing. But when the devil sees you coming, and he say, pastor is here, guess what? There's trouble. There's trouble on the horizon. I said, there's trouble. Satan can see some things in the spirit. Satan can see some things. Do you know there was a man, his shadow, only his shadow. Only his shadow was healing sick people. Satan can, in fact, it's very, you will read it before we close because it's one of my last scriptures here. Evil spirits were running out of people because they took handkerchiefs that one servant of God had prayed over and they put it on the people. How can demonic spirits run out of people because of a handkerchief? The man himself is not even there. How can that happen? Because the energetic operation of God is not respectful of physical presence. Somebody online can receive a miracle this afternoon. There can be some breakthrough. Something can change completely in somebody's life and they are not here. Because that energetic operation, that energy is not respectful of presence. Yes, presence is very important because, like the woman with the issue of blood, you know, presence helps you. You are right there, right? And you can reach and say, just touch that garment. It's like this, my friends are asked to come to the front. You know, at the back there, as the anointing of the Holy Spirit is moving, they can sit back there and say, glory to God, I just receive. But right here, as I'm walking in front of them, Grab my. They can just grab anything. Just pull it hard. You're not pulling it at the woman with the issue. You think that's how that woman with the issue of blood pulled it? Pull it like he pulled it. That's it. There you go. That's how she pulled it. You think that woman with the issue of blood just held Jesus and just nice. It's nylon. It's silk. She grabbed a hold of that thing. She grabbed it hard. She grabbed it. And the Bible said the blood, the flow of her blood, stanch is a King James word. It stanch. It means it stopped permanently. The word rot means it is produced by the faith of the energetic oppression of God and your active participation. Your active. Let's go to the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Everybody stand to your feet. Stretch your legs for just a minute. I'm not done yet. I'm about midway now. I hope you are here. Active participation. Amen. Stretch. In fact, let's just pray for just 1 minute. Let's just pray in the spirit. Just you open your mind, just pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I drove myself here. I came here to your presence. I came to the heart. I don't want to live the same. If you are online, I tuned in. I made an appointment with you. I don't want to live this. This day must not pass without me receiving something tangible from you. No. I didn't come in here just to fulfill all righteousness, just to mark a spot. I came in here to receive. Thank you, Lord. And I will receive. I declare that I will receive in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Sit down. Let me recap this, what we've read in Ephesians and Colossians. You and Jesus are the same. Whatever God has done with Jesus, he has done with you. You are not different from Jesus. You are not sitting somewhere and Jesus is sitting somewhere else. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
I want you to understand this before I go to the Old Testament. When Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he turned around and said, and I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. He is not using the keys. Jesus is not using the keys. You are. Jesus is not the one putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is not the one pleading the blood of Jesus. Jesus is not the one taking the name of the word of God. Jesus is not the one exercising. No. Jesus is seated in heaven. You are his body. You are down here and you are exercising authority in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm finding it's such a blockage. It's such so difficult. It's so difficult. Where's this wall? Why is this wall? Why? Why is this wall? Listen, God has a delivery. Come on.
Amen.
Why is this wall? Why is this wall? Let's break down this wall. Where are your minds? Come on here. Be spiritual. This is life and death. You can change somebody's life. You can save somebody through this message.
Yes. Yes.
Through the empowerment you receive in your own life, somebody's life can change forever.
Yes.
I know I saw you enjoying the music. I saw you enjoying the dancing. I saw you enjoying everything else that we did. All of that is awesome. But this is the greatest thing God prepared for you in this service.
Yes.
And where I have my faith, I don't care if it's just one. There must be a miracle in this service. I am sworn to it. I am committed to it. There must be one miracle out of this. I'm just looking for somebody that is hungry enough. Somebody that is passionate enough. Somebody that is focused enough. Somebody that is believing enough to lay hold on what God has for them today. This world, there are too much things, too much thinking. It's too much thinking. Hallelujah. It's one of the reasons I really enjoy ministering in other places. When we were ministering in Florida 2 weeks ago, it was almost like, you know, people are so hungry. They are so hungry because they need God. They're so hungry. And I know there were miracles in those services. I know there were. And many of them finished in the morning and they came back at night. We finished that morning service. I think it was around 1 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock. Finished. The evening service was 6 o'clock. They were back. And many of them drove from far away places. What is wrong with America? What is wrong with this nation? We are so sufficient. We're so, you know, we have it all. The power of God means nothing anymore. And it's not just our great nation. It's also people who come into this nation. They get very comfortable. It means nothing anymore. And the presence of God is drifting away. It's drifting away. I read yesterday, Jesus couldn't do any miracle in his own hometown, Nazareth. He couldn't do any miracle. They say he just laid hands on a few sick for headache, and he moved, he left town. Why? Because their minds were so clouded. While he was preaching to them, they said, is that not the carpenter's son? We know him. He used to sell us chairs and upholstery, right? When did he become so anointed? This while he's preaching to them. And then they wonder why they were not getting healed. They couldn't get healed. They couldn't get healed. Because the power of God, it's the faith of the energetic operation of the power of God and your active participation. You are right there where Jesus is seated. Somebody say, I'm right there where Jesus is seated. Say with me, I'm for signs and wonders. Say it, I'm for signs and wonders. Say it again, I'm for signs and wonders. I'm for signs. Maybe you don't need a miracle. Maybe you don't need anything. Maybe, but you know what? Your future could be helped. God could pour out something on your future. God could make a dent. He could put a measure of his glory on your future. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. The Lord just wanted me to show you in this couple of scriptures right here. And after this, I think I'll be getting ready to wrap up. I'm going to take you to Numbers, and then I think I'll be getting ready to wrap up and get into praying today. I'm not in a hurry. I'm giving you an idea so you can at least you can prepare yourself. But you don't be in a hurry. Let's just soak it all in. Let's get all that the Lord has for us. We don't have another open heavens until next year, and next year's open heavens may not be in Cleveland. So let's soak it all in. Let's soak it all in. Amen. Let's get everything God has for us.
Yes.
Let's not take God for granted.
Amen.
Like the people of Nazareth. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Let's read a few verses now. A preface to what I'm going to read here that the Lord wanted me to show you. See, I've talked to you about the head and the body. Jesus, the head, the church, the body. You and I, the church, the body. There's a type. David in the Old Testament was really one of those men, one of those vessels of God that God used so powerfully. God really, in times when it seemed like the power of God was really no longer active, when most people really couldn't really justify or testify to the presence of the working of God in their generation, David was one of those people that stood out.
That's right.
And God's power was always demonstrated through him. Now, David was the giant killer. You know, he took out that first giant. What was his name? Come on, help me, church. What was the name of that first giant? Thank you, Goliath. David took him out. How old was David when he took him out? 17. He was a little boy. But he was a little boy anointed by God.
Hey.
The thing that made a difference in the life of David was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. My friends, when you begin to make room for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life, things will change. When you begin to make room for the anointing, the way you talk to the Holy Spirit, the way you talk to the Father, how you spend time with the presence of God, how you are intimate with him, when you begin to make room for the anointing, things. David simply spent a lot of time with God in the wilderness. And the power of God rubbed off on him. Now, David was the great giant killer, and he started from a very young age, but at some point he got very old. In fact, I'm not going to read that scripture. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 21. One of those times, he went out to try to fight another giant. Goliath was gone by this time. You remember he killed Goliath. But there were other giants. There's a whole tribe of giants. Satan doesn't stop. He never stops. If you get rid of Goliath, there's Goliath's uncle. There's Goliath's nephew. There's Goliath's niece. If you get, it's a whole tribe. It's a whole tribe. That's why God's strategy is to create a whole tribe of giant killers. God wants to create a whole tribe of giant killers. Somebody say, I'm in the tribe of giant killers. It's not only David. It's not enough that David was a giant killer. It's not enough because there's a whole tribe of giants. Long after David leaves the scene, there are still giants coming out of their mother's wombs. If the only giant killer there ever was and there ever will be was David, then the nation of Israel was in trouble. If in the kingdom of God, the only way, the only hope that God has to defeat Satan is Jesus, then the body of Christ is in trouble. God is raising up little Jesuses. Little Jesuses. Somebody say, I'm one of the little Jesuses. Say, I'm one of the little Jesuses. God is raising up little Jesuses. That's my assignment today in this service, to tell you you are a little Jesus. Whether you want to hear it or not, to let you know you are a little Jesus. Because in one of these days, just a few weeks from now, you will remember this word. I'm a little Jesus. Satan, get lost. I'm a little Jesus. Satan, get out of my house. I'm a little Jesus. Satan, get out of my finances. I'm a little Jesus. Satan, get lost. It will be registered in your spirit. Satan, leave my health alone. Satan, leave my money alone. Satan, leave my children alone. Satan, leave my family alone. Satan, leave my career alone. When he gets up and he asks you, but who are you? He says, I'm a little Jesus. I'm a little Jesus. What gives you the authority to command me? I'm a little Jesus. Because the same anointing that was on Jesus is on me. I'm a little Jesus. Sit down, sit down. Let's try to bring this up to a close here. So, one of those times, David was already very old. Hallelujah. And he went out to try to fight another giant. This is, I can't read this because of time. 2 Samuel 21. And he thought it was like when he was 17. And he got out there, but he was weak. He was tired. And these giants are very strategic. They saw his weakness. And one of those giants came up behind him and was going to slap him and strike him and kill him. But there was one of the young men named Abishai. He was in the tribe of giant killers. His name was not David, his name was Abishai. He showed up out of nowhere. And before this giant could kill David, he attacked him. He fought him. He said, leave David alone. Leave our master alone. And he killed him. He killed that giant. And then they gathered David, all the men, they took David. They said, David, sir, you have fought giants since you were 17. Your days of fighting giants are over. Let us take this over from you. You have trained us. We too, we can kill this giant. Hey. Hey. When Jesus is no longer on the scene, a group of Abishais that have been trained to kill the giants, they said unto David, you are the light of Israel. We can't allow the devil to take out the light of Israel. You will no longer go out to fight. You stay home. You have raised us up. We can do the fighting for you. We are a tribe of giant killers. His name was Abishai. From that day, David never went out to war. He said, they told him, you are the light of Israel. But all the giant killers, the whole tribe. Now, the Bible puts the light on some of them. I want you to understand, church, God is putting the light on you today. Amen. Jesus is no longer here, but you are. Jesus is no longer here, but you are. That same anointing that helped Jesus defeat the devil is on you. Amen. You have been trained. In fact, right now in this service, you are being trained.
Yes.
I know some of you are looking very far into this, like far into space. Like, okay. But even without you realizing it, God is equipping you. God is preparing you.
Amen.
You're going to see some things are going to come up and you're going to say, wow, in the name of Jesus,
yes.
I stop this. I command these scissors to stop. You're going to stand your ground. And somebody's going to bring a problem to you. And they say, no, they say, stop crying. Stop crying. Say, I can handle this. They look at you different. You can handle it. Say, yes, I can handle it. Come on, let's pray. You join hands with, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I plead the blood of Jesus against you. Take your hands off of this family now. And then breakthrough comes and they look at you different. And even you look at yourself different. Like, oh, I didn't know I had that in me. Yes, you do. God is equipping you. You see, I'm very focused in this service. I'm not rushing. I'm very focused. I'm not looking at your faces. I have a mandate. I'm going to get my job done. This is a very crucial event. Thank God for those that are here in person and thank God for those that are online. It's a very crucial event. It's crucial for this ministry, but it's also crucial for you. Hallelujah. So, when you convince me that you are becoming a tribe of giant killers, I'll start rounding up the message.
Hallelujah.
Until you convince me. If you are just sitting down there like that, like, oh, okay. And with each revelation that comes, you just go, and I can see it's just passing like that. I'm just going to keep preaching. If you want me to stop, like you think you have really gotten it and you are really getting it and you think it's time for me to stop, you have to show me. You have to demonstrate to me that you are a tribe of giant killers. Because I am not going to waste all these hours of prayer, hours of studying, hours of setting myself apart and preparing in obedience to the command of God to raise up giant killers. And I will not stop until that job is done. So until you are actually giant killers, I'm not stopping today. So gird up, like the Bible says, gird up the loins. Gird up your loins. Begin to tell yourself, come on now, you are a giant killer. Look at your neighbor, slap them. Say, come on, giant killer. Slap them, say, come on, giant killer. If you're online and we can't see you, don't worry, God can see you. Don't allow yourself to sleep. I know you are very comfortable where you are. Get yourself up. I know Edie told us on Friday, he was joining, of course, you know, he had to walk all day, he had to travel the following day from Chicago, but that night he set everything, he was on the service, he was everything online, and he was enjoying the service. He said he didn't know when. Oh. He's a giant killer today. You say, you wonder why I brought him to come and sit up front. There's no sleeping today. Nobody is sleeping today. If I see you sleeping, I'm going to come to where you are. And I'm going to shake you. You are a giant killer. You are a giant killer. Shake your neighbor. Say, you are a giant killer. You are a giant killer. Come on. Shake them. Shake them. You are a giant killer. You are a giant killer. Giant killers don't look like you are looking. Come on. Shake yourself up. You are a giant killer. Giant killer don't look so absent. You are a giant killer. Giant killer don't look so bored. You are a giant killer. You are a giant killer. Let's continue. Let's continue. Thank you. How many little Jesuses do I have in this house? How many little Jesuses do I have online? Come on. We're taking the fight to the camp of the enemy. We're not stopping. We're not stopping until we've riled up the foundations of the gates of hell. Until we have caused Satan panic. Until we have turned things upside down. And move the kingdom of Jesus forward. We're not stopping. Sit down, pull out your Bible. Let's move on forward. Let's move forward. We have a few ways to go here. So what was I saying? Giant killers. So David was now old. David was now old. But even though he was old, you know, sometimes old people don't know that they don't have it anymore. Their heart is still running, pumping. They're still passionate in their heart. They still have fair vision. Like, I remember when I used to be able to do this. And in their hearts, they are still full of passion. But sometimes, they get up and their body starts speaking to them. My friend, it's no longer that way. You may need to make room for some younger giant killers. You did your job, didn't you? You trained giant killers, didn't you? This fight is not your fight forever. You did your part. Step aside. Sit at home. Watch this movie. Enjoy it. We're going to take the kingdom for you. We're going to take the kingdom for you. Sometimes we need to be reminded, even though our hearts are still pumping and still passionate and still going, our bodies are weary and tired. Sometimes we don't have everything the way we used to have it. That's why legacy is very important. That's why when you have the opportunity, you got to raise up other people to do what you are doing. It started with Jesus. It didn't end with Jesus. He said unto Peter, "You are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gate of hell will not prevail. I will not be here forever. But you have a time. You have a season. When I'm gone, you will be here. You carry on the job that I started. This job must not die when I leave. This work must not die when I leave. You are here. That's why you are here. Carry on this work. Carry on this work. It's not only about me. We're a tribe of giant killers. We're a tribe of giant killers. The same anointing that God placed on my life is placed on your life. The same graces, the same unction, the same power. When my job is done, when my work is over, when I leave this earth's plane, don't you go to sleep. Don't you quit on God. Don't you stop, oh God. I'm getting emotional because I'm seeing years into the future and I'm seeing God doing mighty things through some giant killers. They will not be named David. They will not be named Jesus, but they will still be giant killers. Some of them are little children today, but the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon them. Hallelujah. They will go into the camp of the enemy. They will say, "Satan, loose your hold. The blood of Jesus is against you. Your time is up. Loose your hold on my family. Let go of my finances. Make room for the plan of God." Shout hallelujah, somebody. Excuse me for getting emotional. Hallelujah. Sometimes vision does that to you. Sometimes vision does that to you. You look way into the future and you can see yourself old and frail. But you know what God started with you will not die. Because you took the time to raise up other people. You told them, this is not only about Jesus. Jesus isn't going to fight the devil from heaven. Jesus needs you. And he needs me. Jesus needs the little children. There may be little children right now, but one of these days they're going to get up and they're going to say, Satan, lose your hold. There may be those tiny little babies dancing right now, but one of these days they're gonna say, Satan, get out of my family, get out of my family, Satan. Why? Because somebody trained them, somebody prepared them, somebody had legacy in mind. Hallelujah. How many giant killers do I have in this house? Someone is, I'm in the tribe of giant killers. I'm going to extend the work of Jesus. I'm going to extend the work of the kingdom of God. The work of the kingdom of God will not die with me. I will not play church. I will not be stupid. I will not be foolish. I will not be irreverent and not take seriously the things that matter to the heart of God. I will go into the camp of the enemy and take the anointing of the Holy Spirit and do the work that God assigned us to do. We will finish that work. We will advance that work. We will move that work forward. And we will not quit until the work is done. And when we are done in our generation, the next generation will take over. We will be ready. The new generation of giant killers. Let's go, giant killers. Let's go, giant killers. Satan is a nobody. He can't stop us. He can't stop us. He's a toothless bulldog. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. But we are anointed. We are empowered. We have the glory of God upon our lives. Hallelujah. We're going to go into the camp of the enemy. We're not going to let him take advantage of us. We're not going to let him take advantage of us and tell us lies and tell us what we're not able to do. No, we're part of the tribe of giant killers. We belong to Jesus. We are anointed by the Holy Ghost. The power of God is upon our lives. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have no limits. We have no limits. We have no limits. Shout yes, somebody. Shout yes, somebody. David is dead, but Abishai is here. David is dead, but Abishai is here. Hallelujah. We're a tribe of giant killers. There is nothing we can do. The anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives will enable us to go into the gates of hell and to plunder hell. To plunder hell. It's time to stop playing defense. It's time to stop hiding in the basement. It's time to stop hiding in the house. It's time to get up and be a soldier in the army of the Lord and carry your armor and carry your weapons and go into the throne of darkness and say, Satan, loose your hold. Let go. Let go. Let go. Sit down, let's try to close this. Sit down, let's try to close this. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 23. and verse 8. I see you guys, you are really serious about having me close soon, because I see the anointings upon you. The glory of God, I can see it all over you. I can see there's something going on in every life, in every home. I can see it right here. I can see right here, we will never be the same again. We will never be the same again. Something is going on in the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. When we get back to our homes, we're going to serve notice to the enemy and all his emissaries and all his servants. We're going to say, it's time. You've been working here for so long. You thought this was your territory, but I'm here to declare to you that I've come to take over. I've come to take my place in the kingdom of God, that everything that belongs to me, I am taking back from you. You can't keep what belongs to me. What Jesus died to give to me, you can't keep my salvation, my deliverance, my freedom, my health, my financial liberty. You can't take away what Jesus died to give to me. You can't take my children. You can't take my spouse. You can't take my siblings. You can't take what belongs to me. Satan, it's time. I've come to take over. I've come to lay hold on what rightly belongs to me. It's mine. It's mine. Let's try to close this. 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And verse 8. And these are the names of the mighty men who David had. Hallelujah. Let's read it from the Amplified. I think that's actually easier for me, so I don't have to return to this. These are the names of the mighty men who David had. Yosheb-Bashebeth, a Tachmonite, chief of the three heroes, known also as Adino the Esnite. He wielded his spear, and he went against 800 men one time, and he slain them. He slew them, well, who were slain at one time. 800 men. He took his spear. He's not named David. He's not named Jesus. In fact, I guarantee there are not many people in this congregation listening to this message today that know this name. Yosheb-Bashebeth, a Tachmonite, chief of the three heroes, known also as Adino the Esnite. He wielded his spear and he went against 800 men who were slain at one time. Verse 9. Next to him, among the three mighty men, was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, son of Ahohi. He was with David when David defied the Philistines, assembled there for battle, and the men of Israel had departed. But, verse 10, Eleazar arose. David was gone, but Eleazar arose, and he struck down the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clung to the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the men returned after him only to take the spoil. Thank God for Eleazar. Verse 11. And next to Eleazar was Shammah, son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines were gathered at Lehi on a piece of ground full of lentils. And the Israelites fled from the Philistines. But Shammah stood in the midst of the ground and he defended it. And he slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. I want you to notice, is the same word wrought that I talked to you about at the beginning of this message. The Lord wrought, the Bible says in Ephesians. He wrought, which he wrought when he raised Jesus. Is the same Lord and is the same wrought. He wrought a great victory. What I don't want you to overlook are the men who stood their ground. And because they stood their ground, the Lord wrought a great victory. Remember, he took the active participation of this man. When a man or a woman rises up, and when they take the sword of the Spirit, and when they say, Jesus is gone, but I am here. I am the gatekeeper over this family. Maybe everybody thinks there is nothing to fight for in this family. But at the end of the day, this family is my inheritance. Come on, Philistines. Come on, Philistines. And he begins to wield the sword. And he begins to wield the sword. And he begins to fight. He kills one and puts them down. He kills the other and puts them down. He kills one and puts them down. He kills them. And at the end of the day, it's 800 dead bodies on the ground. And he's tired and he's standing. And everybody wonders, how did it happen? The Lord wrought a great victory. The Lord wrought a great victory. The Lord wrought a great victory. But he needed a man to stand. He needed a woman to hold the spear. He needed a little child to wield the sword of the Spirit. He needed active participation. The Lord wrought the victory. The Lord wrought the victory. The Lord wrought the victory. I know we're ready to close. Let's go to finally, to Numbers chapter 23. Finally, the Lord will wrought a victory, a great victory in our lives and families. In the name of Jesus. In every physical situation, every financial situation, every monetary, every career, every mental situation, the Lord will wrought a great victory in the name of Jesus. Every psychological situation, the Lord will wrought a great victory. Every ministry situation, the Lord will wrought a great victory. Hallelujah. Let's go to Numbers 23. I have just a couple more scriptures to read here. Numbers 23 verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and shall he not do it? Has he spoken and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I want you to move to verse 21 and look at that, put that up in the Amplified, please. Verse 21 of Numbers 23. God has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, because Jacob is forgiven. Neither has he seen mischief or perverseness in Israel for the same reason. The Lord their God is with Israel, and the shout of praise to their king is among the people. God brought them forth out of Egypt. They have, as it were, the strength of a wild ox. Verse 23. Surely there is no enchantment with or against Jacob. Neither is there any divination with or against Israel. In due season, and even now, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, look at what God has wrought. It is the same word wrought. W-R-O-U-G-H-T. Look at what God has wrought. What God has wrought. What God has wrought. You don't have it, so you won't see this online. You won't see this on the overhead. But in the International Standard Version of Numbers chapter 23, verse 23, this is the way it reads. No satanic plan against Jacob. No divination against Israel can ever prevail. I want you to listen to this. This is in the ISV. When the time is right, it is to be asked about Jacob and Israel. What has God accomplished? I'm getting ready to close this message. But I just want you to know, every now and then, we need to get together and we need to pull out our notebooks and we need to call one another together and say, let's talk about what God has done. What has God accomplished? Because sometimes there's a smoke screen and Satan is trying to confuse us. Sometimes he's trying to deceive us and tell us God has forgotten about us. And he's telling us there is no way out of this. And he's trying to tell us, look, the last person who suffered this, he died from this affliction. But sometimes it is necessary. Like we heard in the service earlier on today, we need to sometimes say, what has God accomplished? Did God ever bring somebody out of a cancer situation? Did he ever do that? And then after 10 years, did they actually say they were still cancer free?
Yes.
Is that something God has accomplished?
Yes.
If God could do that for that person, he can certainly do that for you. No matter what you are going through, no matter what your situation is, are there situations that God has turned around? Have there been people who came through the Red Sea when they were telling them there's no way through this? You are done for. It is over. Well, hey, let's talk about what God has accomplished. Has God ever opened a way through the Red Sea? Do you have that documented? Let's talk about it. Sometimes you need to gather your family together. You need to bring out your history notes and say, what has God really done in this family? We need to spend some time and talk about it. I love the way the ISV puts it. The ISV, he said, when the time is right. When the time is right, it is to be asked about Jacob and Israel, what has God accomplished? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you today, the time is right. Let's talk about it. What has God accomplished? What has God done in your life? Let's talk about it. What has God done in your family? Has God ever turned around a situation? Have you ever come out of a hopeless pain, a hopeless situation? It's time to talk about it. What has God accomplished? The Message translation says, sit down, let's close this. I'm almost done. The Message translation says, no magic spell can bind Jacob. No incantation can hold back Israel. People will look at Jacob and Israel and they will say, what a great thing God has done. I want you to mark today. Mark this day in your diary. Today, something will happen. Something will happen that will mark you for generations to come. In generations ahead, you will look back and you will say, look at what God has done. Look at the wonders God has done for them. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation, Numbers 23, verse 23, it says, no curse can touch Jacob. No magic has any power against Israel. For now, it will be said of Jacob, what wonders God has done for Israel. Just like Jesus, You are for signs and wonders. In Isaiah 8:18, Jesus said, I and the children that God has given me, together, we are for signs and for wonders that are to take place in Israel. Let's read this last one, Numbers 24, verses 5 to 9. You should have the God's Word translation. Put that up for us, please. Numbers chapter 24, from verse 5 to 9. I'm going to read that out of my note here. Numbers chapter 24. Let's read from verse 5 to 9. Listen to this. How beautiful are your tents, Jacob? This is the God's Word translation. You should have that. Do you have that? Yes, you do. No, you don't. You don't? God's Word. How beautiful are your tents, Jacob, and the places where you live, Israel. Your tents spread out like rivers, like gardens by a river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars by the water. Waters will flow from your buckets, and their crops will have plenty of water. Their king will be greater than Agag, and their kingdom will be considered the best. Verse 8, the God who brought them out of Egypt has the strength of a wild bull. He will devour nations that are his enemies and crush their bones and pierce them with arrows. His people lie down and rest like a lion. They are like a lioness, and who dares disturb them? Those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. Let's close out here. Let's stand to our feet, everybody. Let's close out here in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. If you are here with us and you don't have your point of contact right on the front, wherever your point of contact is, hold on to it now, please. If you are virtual, get your point of contact and get ready. In just a minute, we're going to pray together. And I know miracles are already happening. I know God is already working. You saw that through the service. You saw a breakout of the Holy Spirit of God. And something was happening in the realm of the Spirit. I know that. Acts chapter 19 and verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. This is King James. This is the same word, wrought. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. I love the way the Amplified puts it in verse 11. And God did unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or towels or aprons which had touched his skin were carried away and put upon the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Today is your day for unusual and extraordinary miracles. Let's pray and talk to our Father here. In the name of Jesus. Everybody, lift up your voice. Let's bless the name of the Lord for his awesome miracles, for his mighty presence, for his signs and wonders. Everybody, exalt Jesus with me this moment. Exalt Jesus with me this moment. Everybody, come on, this is a moment. This is a significant moment. Exalt Jesus with me this moment. Hallelujah. 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 Help me put up, please, the chat. Thank you, flyer. Open heavens. conventions of the near future. Here it is. I have 10 cities and some nations listed there. Hallelujah. You see that scripture at the bottom of that? It's Isaiah chapter 54, verses 2 and 3 in the Message. Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You are going to need a lot of elbow room for your growing family. You are going to take over whole nations. You are going to resettle abandoned cities. Isaiah 54 verses 2 and 3. This design up here, thank you, Pastor Emmanuel, excellent job, shows the cities and nations of open heavens conventions of the near future. In just a minute, we are going to prophesy with the same passion that we are prophesied over everything else in this service. We're going to prophesy. I want to read out those cities to you. At the top right there is Akron, Ohio. We have never had an open heavens convention in Akron, Ohio. We're coming there. We're coming there. All of us are going to drive there. From different places, people are going to fly there. If I have anyone still online with us in any of those missions, North Carolina and Texas and India and Africa, Ghana and the rest, we are all going to gather in Akron, Ohio. Amen. We're going to invade that city. Yes. With the power of the gospel. Yes. With authority and dominion. Yes. And we are going to raise down the gates of hell. Yes. In Akron, Ohio. Same thing. We're going to go back to Charlotte, North Carolina. In just a little bit from now. This is in no particular order. I'm just putting it out. We're going to prophesy in a minute. We will go as the Holy Spirit directs us. We'll go back to Charlotte, North Carolina. We're going to come back to Cleveland, Ohio. Then we're going to go all the way to Houston, Texas. It won't be long from now. We're going to go all the way to Columbus, Ohio. It won't be very long from now. We're going to go to Accra, Ghana. Accra, Ghana. It won't be long from now. We're going to go to Lagos, Nigeria. It will not be long from now. We are going to go to Abuja, Nigeria. It won't be long from now. We're going to go to London, the United Kingdom. It will not be long from now. And we are going to go to the nation of India. It will not be long from now. Will you lift up your voice and let's prophesy over our open heavens conventions of the near future. Lesike bradish, lato komozatedis, le predikeves, lo pranige vedista, maskola predish, la kados kanange, jete di vradish, lo pradivekesta, maskolo prania, la prediva kos kanash, la tediva ros, le predive koradish, la predive koga, jata le predike. Masconom pranigeves, lo prediva divre, le preniga vaso, macava soto nombre, li prediva casite, maco soto nasce. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So shall it be. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be you lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord God, strong and mighty. That is his name. That is his name. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, O you everlasting doors. You cities, lift up your heads. Make way for the gospel. Make way for the gospel. Giving through abundant life in the name of Jesus. We establish it. As we sow the seed in the spirit, we establish it. We establish it. We establish it. We give you the glory and the praise. We give you the glory and the praise, Lord. We give you the glory and the praise, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, help me bless the name of the Lord. Come on, help me bless the name of the Lord.